Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Girls Pod Channel. This is Christy. Hello. Happy, what do you say? Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Happy all of the things. It is a good time of year. Just fucking chill out and also get a bit hashtag reflective, which is what we are doing now for summer sessions. Myself, old mate Stacey June, our team, Abby and Jordan, and you guys have all put in kind of our 2 cents in terms of what were chats that we had on the Thinker Girls Pod Channel from 2018 that really connected to us and connected to you guys. So we're replaying some of those and revisiting them. So we hope that you love this sick. Maybe it's one that you've heard throughout the year, or maybe it's one that you're hearing for the first time. Regardless, we hope you enjoy it and also that you're enjoying your holidays right now if you've got any. Bye.
Welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel. I'm Stacey June.
And I'm Christy Mercer. And we're glad that you are here.
Yeah, what week are we in?
What year is it? Oh,
oh, my goodness. Lola Berry joins us on our show today, and we are thrilled to be kicking off the week with her. It's always an interesting thing when you have interviewed people over the phone and then anticipate to interview them again, but in person. It is a very different vibe.
Oh, so different. But it could not have been any, like, it was great when we had her on the podcast initially when we couldn't see her all those years ago.
We can put, yeah, that in show notes too.
But it was just like a million and one times better because I think she is a bit of an energy person. Like, you've got her engaged when you're in front of her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think both of us are probably a bit like
people,
that too.
People. So although my husband said that he thought the Apollo chat was so great considering it's over down the line.
Yeah, and we couldn't see him. No. There's no Skype or anything.
No,
so
you can check that out. Went up last week.
When it works, it works. Maybe it's just the feeling that we get when we have somebody sitting in front of us too.
Yeah, maybe.
That makes us feel different.
Also now, as most of you know, we have a record studio in my house. So you walk into the house and just to set a bit of a picture, my house is pretty, I mean, most of you would have seen it on videos and things. We've recorded here a lot or filmed here a lot. But there is a bit of an energy that I've worked very hard at setting. So you get here and it definitely doesn't feel hectic like a radio studio.
No.
Or some kind of weird soulless studio that you hire. Like,
no.
It's my house.
It feels incredibly intimate. So I think
yeah.
There is a tone that's set with the minute somebody walks in the door and sees your little chalkboard with your weekly mantra on it.
Yes.
And
yes.
We use that as our sound test.
Yes, we have.
I am enough. I am enough.
Which is
I am
week.
Enough.
Oh, told
over
everyone.
And over.
I've told everyone the weekly mantra.
That was last week's. Haven't you updated?
No, well, you only update when you feel like you've clocked it, miss. And I've not clocked that. I'm enough's probably going to be up there for a lifetime.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. I'm getting there. I am getting there.
Okay, so we want you to hear this chat right now.
Yeah. Firstly, I want to tell you why we're chatting, because she's working it. She's working the circuit. She's brought out a brand new book. Now, Lola Berry has actually written, oh God, I think it's like
10 books in 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this particular book, which is called The Yoga Body, I think is nice because you get, it's not just a cookbook. Not that the others are cookbooks, but you definitely get a real sense of her personality through
yes.
this.
And even her styling, which
yeah.
we found out about on the podcast.
Yeah. And so it has a 7-day cleanse in it. It talks about basic yoga poses if you're looking as a beginner, as well as giving you, you know, all these kinds of different great recipes. So we did speak to her. If you want to follow her on Instagram, you can find her at Yummo Lola Berry. Y-U-M-M-O, Lola Berry, on Facebook at Lola Berry also. But she is a real delight.
Oh, stunning.
And it is a real great chat. We speak about a lot of things, about her career, about how she finds the industry, about heartbreak, which she posted very openly about a few, would have been last year now.
Yeah. Also, yeah, strength in vulnerability, and especially how that plays in with dating and detecting, you know, when you want to go around having a kind of open heart, how that can be a bit challenging when you're meeting new people, especially when you're somebody like her that has something to offer and a public platform, that I think a lot of people can see that as an attractive trait that they might be, you know, want to use a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll let her tell you that story. We hope you enjoy the chat. Please let her know that if you did enjoy it. And likewise, we always appreciate a review or a rating on your favorite podcast app. But let's get on with it. Here's Lola Berry, everyone. Lola Berry, welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel.
Thank you.
Hi. Fuck, we had to press record because otherwise this chat would never happen. We would just sit here for 85 hours just chewing the fat about other random shit and not actually have any kind of episode to share with anybody.
Lola wasn't recording.
Oh.
Can you say hi anyway?
Hello.
Lola Berry's here.
Oh, there
now.
She is.
Okay, now she actually is here. God love you. Hello.
We're just having a big chat about, like Lola's just saying before, give it to me straight, Stacey. Like about, this gives you an idea of the kind of chat you're going to expect. There's going to be no beating around the bush from this bitch.
Fuck no, mate. Nah, I'm allowed to swear, and I do drop the odd C-bomb here and there.
You've
not
done it
twice.
We're into that. Yeah. Nah, I'm so into that.
So you're on the book circuit and you've written a book. What number book is this been?
I've counted in case you've lost count.
Do you know?
10. It should be 10.
But 10.
Double figures.
But 10 in 8. 10 in 8 years, yeah?
Yeah.
That's just mental. Is
it?
Are you
the same publisher?
Yeah.
They'd be fairly happy, wouldn't they?
Yeah. They've been amazing.
Pam McMillan, right?
Yeah. So I'm with Plum, which is the illustrated version of Pam Mac. So it just means pretty pictures.
Okay.
Right. And that's why when you do all your stories, which you can follow on Instagram, because you're quite a good...
Avid.
You bring everybody along with you.
Mm. Lovely old Insta.
That, you know, you see the styling of the clothes, the styling. You see how a book like yours is put together, which it is. A lot of it is predominantly pictures, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's like a 12-month process writing a book. We were just like gasping about that before we press record. It's quite a big process, and for me the shoot and the food shoot, the fashion, I used to be a stylist, so I effing love
Did
fashion.
You? Yeah, right.
So the shoot is actually my favorite.
Who was I listening to a podcast about? I can't even remember. They'd written something like, I think it was some Buddhist monk, and he'd written something like 80 books or something. Yeah. He's like, it just spews out of me.
I often think that with Deepak. I'm like, man.
Yeah, I'm not. Where he's like,
you hear a new title every day from that bloke.
I'm not consciously sitting down and going, now, Deepak, what would I like to write about? He's like, it just kind of comes to me. Is that kind of a similar process for you? Or like, I'm not imagining you, or maybe you do, but I'm not imagining you sitting down and being like, okay, you know, and you're tight on things to come up with.
The way it works is I'll go into a meeting with Plum or Pam Mac, and I'll be like, yo, here's 6 ideas. And they're like, we want those 2 brainstormed. And then I'll go away and brainstorm 2 ideas. And then they'll be like, this is the strongest, deliver us a skeleton. So a skeleton is like the content breakdown. And then I deliver a skeleton. And then after that, I deliver every recipe idea. So I don't make them. I just have like ideas in my head. Mm-hmm. That becomes real easy.
Yeah, okay.
And then they go, all right, you've got 3 months to write. And you've got to deliver X
amount. So we get sent a lot of books.
Yeah, you would.
An absolute F load. And we've just spoken earlier about how this particular industry, and I suppose the space that you're playing in, is getting bigger. It's quite big at the moment. Why do people give a shit about you, do you think?
I mean, sometimes I'm sure they don't, but I think...
Oh, they do,
Lola. Yeah, they
Lola.
Do. Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
My whole motto with anything that I do, whether it be recipes, yogs, fucking anything, is just be real. I'd rather be real and honest and speak from the heart without sounding too hippie and woo-woo and be hated than be like fake and light and airy and like... Hi, I'm Lola and I can do yoga every day and I only eat mung beans. Like, fuck that. I'd just rather be the real McCoy. And I think you guys know this too in our industry. It's real. There's a lot of fake in our industry. Really?
Well, we named
true.
A few.
It's very
recording, actually.
Which is so ironic because especially when your whole business model is shopping around the fact that you are real and genuine and legit and this is my, you know, and then behind closed doors you're potentially not. I think that's the most intense part.
I actually find it intense when like a fellow maybe health person or blogger or influencer that I know is fake and I don't go near will be like, babe, you're just so genuine. And I'm like, get the fuck out of my
coming
face.
From you, that yeah. means nothing. Yeah. All right, on that, I need to ask you about this because I saw this in the Day on a Plate. It's quite a small section on the side of a page in a magazine that comes out of a newspaper.
Oh, is this the one where people go through what they eat for a whole
That's
day?
That's right. Yep, yep. So you did yours and shit hit the fan about November last year. Now, I want to talk about this in particular because I read The Day on the Plate as well. So I read it, you know, getting the paper, reading it, and had my own thoughts at the time. Yeah. And then when I started to read up on different things that you'd been involved in, I didn't realize that people threw this back in your face so much. So I'm going to run through this for everybody.
Okay, because I haven't heard this.
Yeah, so 8:30 a.m., omelette with kale, shallots, tomatoes after heated yoga. 9 a.m., snack of raw activated almonds and raw chocolate. 11:30, a black detox smoothie with activated charcoal, avocado, pineapple, ginger, coconut water, maple syrup, and maca powder. Maple syrup was an interesting choice. 1:30, after my infrared sauna session, a chili, olive oil, and tuna salad. 2 p.m., homemade turmeric latte with almond milk and natural Nutella balls. Dinner was crispy salmon cooked in coconut oil. 7 p.m. is a treat. A raw dark chocolate. They have less sugar than carrot. Didn't know that either. And then 8:45 is write tomorrow's goals down before sleeping with crystals under my pillow.
That sounds so good. What the hell? What's wrong with people? What are people?
I got smashed.
Can I say? I don't know what it. I've got no idea what people's things would say.
Would you want to know what I thought first before we even go to the smashed?
Ah, okay.
I thought. Okay, so I've met you before. We've known each other before, and I thought, and I didn't think it wasn't true, but I thought there may have been some mayo.
Oh, so basically, to be honest, so I wrote that with my publicist and we were literally having the black detox smoothie together. Yeah. It's my favorite smoothie at Happy Place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have that smoothie probably 3 or 4 times a week still to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said what I ate in a day and she's like, it's actually not enough. And she's like, throw in extra snacks. Okay. So
that's what I was going to say. I was like, it's a lot.
The added Nutella balls and all that. Like, I threw in a few extra snacks. But also, like, that's a lot for you or me. That's probably not for the regular Joe Blow reading. So I was like, I don't want people to feel like they've got to miss out or if they want to have a snack. And also, it's being pulled apart by a dietitian. So I didn't want to be too low in what. But I some days I'll eat that much. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Like, if I've taught early yoga or I've done a lot of exercise, I'll absolutely demolish that kind of a day of eating. And I do write my goals the next day. I do have crystals under my bed. Like, I do go to an infrared sauna, but not necessarily daily.
The interesting thing is, and I'm going to be so honest because I reckon you're just so up for it. So it's so refreshing, actually, because we are called refreshing all the time because I think we're what you're making me feel, which is very nice in the home here. It's interesting because I did think I was like, fuck, every night that's stretched out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in terms of to achieve all of those, I think or any of those in one day is a win for a lot of people,
totally,
right? So
totally.
If you'd have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 options of wins in one day is where I went, fuck, that's like you're not just winning. You've just kind of clocked life if that's your day, right? But then I break it down and the crystals under the pillow for me, I actually had a giggle at the end and I was like, well, that's just capped the whole day off, like lol. But then I kind of am now sitting here reading it and going, well, I journal every night. I have crystals next to my bed.
You start
to realize I eat a lot of this stuff. Written down is so interesting how quickly you go to judge, I guess. And I don't think I was judging, but there was certainly this kind of skepticism that happens when it comes off the paper.
Yeah.
That's really hard because even I find myself doing more things than I realize when I actually properly think about it. Like, how would other people react that would never touch any of this stuff? Like, that's a hard place to play.
So the first interview that I did about that was Daily Mail called me up and they were like, yo, you've been labelled a national wanker. How do you feel?
Because this is like Pete Evans activated almond vibes.
Same,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I love
that
was thrown in there for morning tea.
P.S. And I was like, if you want to call me a wanker, call me a wanker. Next minute, the headline is like, I'm a wanker. So I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. So
such journalism integrity over at that camp anyway.
Look, to be honest, it didn't bother me What had happened the week before that was I'd gone through a breakup and I put up a breakup post. Which we and love.
Oh, that's the, don't worry, that's my next question.
But they we also did that on our radio that. Show, just yeah. so you know. We oh, did. I think yeah. I read it out loud, word
yeah,
for word.
You did, yeah.
Oh, I thought amazed. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I got smashed for that, like that, the same thing. And we can talk about that in a sec, but I got smashed for that literally the week before. So by the time this came out and I was getting like calls and it was on like morning TV, we're talking about Lola lives like a health retreat, it's so unattainable. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I don't care what anyone thinks.
But even if it is unattainable, is that a problem? Like, somebody's asked you not give your recommendation Lola for somebody's entire meal. That's not the question. So why does it have to be attainable? The question is, what are you eating in a day? And you're chucking up what you probs
but I
may
think,
eat.
Yeah. I think the point is that I think it all on paper. Like, I really do think it comes back to being quite simple. Think about if you were to write everything you were to do in a day on paper. A, who is ever doing that apart from if you're in your position or you're in probably
totally.
Our position?
Yeah.
And then I think B, if anybody did that, they probably would be terrified from it, like from their results. Yeah. So therefore then they're evoking their own personal stuff. And then three, probably a lot of people didn't know what some of those things were.
Totally.
Activated wada wada.
Do you know what? It's actually like, this is fine doing a day on the plate thing, but I was even talking to my trainer. I've got a personal trainer and she was talking to me and she's like, oh, you know, I want you to start doing a diet diary again. I was like, fuck that. I'm not doing a fucking diet diary again. She goes, why? I go, mate, I've got a history of eating disorders. Do you know how fucking bad it is?
I've never done one, ever.
They're so bad if you've had a history of eating, like literally can re-trigger and re-jig your brain. It is really confronting of writing down what you consume in a day. And there can be, as women, where there's a lot of pressure to look a certain way, especially working in media and stuff, like, fuck, I don't know about you guys, but I've been told when I'm too skinny, too fat, too this, too that. Like, I've been told where to get a Botox, where not. Like, it's full on. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, writing it down, like, this was different, but generally, like, ask anyone of your listeners, like, write down what you eat in a day. There'll be a confronting, there'll be something where there's guilt
when
associated.
You say eating disorders, like, is that, to explain to us how that kind of plays up in your mind every day.
Now it's not. Now I'm like, I have an amazing therapist that I've worked with more for breakup stuff, but I'll talk to him about, I feel bad about this today. Mm. And I was so young when I was going through that. Like, I was 23, and that's when I kind of started to deal with it. But I always say my biggest advice is, like, it is a mental condition. Get help. It's not something you can see a naturopath or a nutritionist for. Sure, you can for the physical, but not the mental. Like, seeing an actual therapist of some description is the turning point for
anyone. But I think even just knowing you shouldn't write things down or those kinds of things, I guess that's what I meant by playing out in your day. You kind of protect yourself. You know, you're also aware of who you are and I guess, you know, what your challenges are or have been, and making sure that you are making yourself safe.
And what the intention is too. Like, I feel sometimes that diet book stuff is so much about shaming you for what you eat. Like, honestly, but that would be not – I'm not saying PTs are doing it for that reason, but if you're somebody that wants to lose weight or you're somebody that eats a lot of junk, like, that is kind of the reason of writing it down, right, that you look at it and you – have an awareness that you should feel bad and not eat that much the next day.
Absolutely. It's really beautiful when you can hold yourself accountable, and that's where it's really powerful, like what you've just been saying with a PT. But I think it depends on the person. I mean, this was so fine. This was just sharing your day, but I think you've really just picked up on something, and it is confronting, right? Try doing
it.
It
is. And so I think there's a reason. I don't think it's just the content that was actually what evoked the emotion. That's why I was trying to break it down a bit. I think seeing that, it just makes everybody question themselves, question you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule.
It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There is something about reading it, and whether it be a day on a plate or something, like that's why journaling is so powerful. Someone asked me the other day, how did you know when you were going to break up with your boyfriend? And I said, I wrote down a list of what I wanted in somebody, and I started bawling my eyes out because I read what was on the page in front of me, and I'm like, that's the opposite of the person that I'm with.
That's a good trick, though.
And I knew, and never once since that moment have I ever thought, oh, maybe, or have I made the wrong call?
That's amazing. Let me just, and we can put the show notes because we have tips, like we have these kinds of three videos that we did with eHarmony last year, which is where that kind of stemmed from. But I think it's important to also kind of be looking at values as opposed to type. I think that's the key where it really evokes emotion. You can go and write your type down and it doesn't have the same power.
My thing used to be, my wish list in a boy used to be like surfer, man bun, tattoos, hot rig.
Exactly. But that's nice. What everybody does.
Yeah. But then like as I'm 32 now I'm like, I just want someone that's fucking kind. Yeah. But then you also want, like, I think with you girls you'd be the same, but you want someone that's like loves you for who you are but inspires you to be more and isn't intimidated by you. That's the biggest thing with me. Like, I'll hang out with these guys and be like, this is fucking amazing. Next minute, I have a great career day and they can't even say, oh, well done, babe. Like, they can't, and you can see their whole, like, world is just like, it's so threatening to have a woman that is just, like, marching to the beat of their own drum and doing their thing. And
so have you found that, like, a common thing? Because I know that's something on my list now that I'm, like, impressive. I don't want to go into a date and be, like, I'm the center of attention and they're like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Or, well, your job's so cool. Or, tell me about – and I'm a bit, like, that's boring. Like, I get fulfilled in that in my work anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like – has there ever been a part of you that's gone, this is just annoying now? Like, if it happens regularly?
The most annoying thing and the most regular thing that happens for me is when you're being used. So the hardest thing for me is because I'm like, I'm very open-hearted and I love romance and I love love and I love, like, those moments. And because, like, that personal stuff is quite, like, a lot of our lives isn't personal. And so to have that little bit of magic and like, you know, a night with someone, like, it's just so lovely. And I often mistake that for, you know, next minute, hey, can you hook me up with a podcast with the Thinker Girls? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I find the user stuff is the hardest thing that I get taken for a little
bit.
And
that happens really regularly?
So much more regularly than you would think.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you had to be careful of that to not close your heart? Because obviously that's who you are pretty naturally. You're like, open, let's do this. You know what I mean? Like, you're wanting to, you're giving. So has there ever been a point where you're like, I'm just going to close up completely, or maybe, you know, maybe read something as somebody using you when in fact it's actually not, where you get a bit protective of yourself?
I don't believe in closing my heart. I'd rather get it, like, there's that famous Licky, you know, the singer Licky Lee, she's amazing. There's that quote and she says, like, the heart is the only part of the body that gets stronger as it breaks. So I mean, if I have another heartbreak, I'm like, fucking again, mate. Like, I just wanted a bit of sparkle.
I also don't know if we can choose when we open and close it sometimes. I think it's the self-work you do on yourself that means you can stay open. I think if it closes, it's often not a choice. Like, you're not consciously going, oh, I'm going to back away. I think you either get so hurt and then maybe you haven't got, I don't want to say the strength, but you know what I mean? Like, that self, that so the self-worth,
the strength for me is walking away. I can stay in stuff and I can stay in and be like, oh, I hope he's a good guy. He's going to turn around. But now, like, and that's where having a therapist has been so good. He'll be like, Lola, you're dating a dud. This guy is a narcissist and he's using you and he's smart, so he's making you think that you're not enough. And I'm like,
and
really?
It's so interesting, you can track those people in different parts of your life too.
Yeah.
The person that you, like, are describing is, like, people that I've attracted as bosses.
Yeah.
So it can come from anywhere of something that you want, you know? It's quite interesting. I actually just had that insight then because it's just, they are everywhere if you're supposed to learn that lesson from some parts of your life. Unfortunately, if it's your romantic part, because I think you are, well, sometimes more open in that part of your life.
The one thing that I've learned recently, though, is, like, intellectual intelligence ain't shit if you've got emotion. Like, you need emotional intelligence and you need intuitive intelligence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those two trump intellectual.
I've always believe that. I really have. And I think I always believe that as a young kid too, because I never understood myself to be book smart, but I still got ahead. And I think deep down I knew, I was like, I can read all you fuckers.
Yeah.
Like, this room is all got their dicks out trying to impress each other. And I know exactly what all of you are doing. And I've always been able to do that, but I didn't realize that was – I only merit of smart recently.
Yeah.
It's so much more powerful. And when you can feel it and see it in someone else, you can literally see an emotionally not smart person just be like –
I think that's the hardest thing I struggled with dating is the lack of emotional intelligence of people. Same. I was like, you will never keep up with me. Like,
no, but do you know what's really sad? They won't be able to have a deep connection with a lot of people. Like, people that don't have emotional intelligence they're limited.
Mm.
It's really sad. Like, because I'm now getting stronger, I can walk away. And I've recently kind of just walked away from something. And I'm like, fuck, it was hard to do. Because I was like, oh, my little heart was like ready for some nice spark. But I was like, fuck, like I have enough self-worth that you were just touching on and I can go, well, if that's not for me, something a million times better than you, motherfucker, is waiting. So I'd rather.
And for everyone involved. Do you know what I mean? Like, think about the kinds of people that you affect when you make good decisions for yourself as well. Before we get to your breakup, though, and I think it's important that we make this point to anyone listening, you know, emotional intelligence can be trained and taught like it is intelligence, going to school. Like, I think sometimes people often think they have to be born with it. And whilst there's like a level of the way you're grown up or the openness, I suppose, you have in the home to other forms of intelligence or other forms of what you learn and how you learn it, you know, working on yourself, as we always plug on this podcast, is the exact way you get that. So if you're kind of listening to this and going, oh God, I wish I kind of got it, or I could read a room more, or I could connect a bit more, you can. I think that's the biggest thing. Go to a therapist, read some books. You know they're all over our website of different things you can do. Read Lola's books, but there's ways.
Mm. Oh, and my therapist said the coolest thing. I was like, when I was working through this most recent thing, I was like, will he get to grow? And he's like, only if he fucking invests in a therapist, because you can grow so fast with a therapist. Like, I wouldn't have had the balls to be able to... Like, even the other night when I bought my book out, I was like, for the first time in my life, I fucking love who I am and I love what I do. Like, I wouldn't have got to that stage without having a therapist go, Lola, you're doing all these things for people that don't even care about you. Like, you know, it's learning to kind of step up to the plate. And it's that self-love. I think there is a lot. And when I say self-love, it sounds like such a fucking throwaway.
It's thrown around. but so often things go back to that self-love, self-worth thing. Yeah. But I get a real sense of that from it. You know how there's people that I don't know, Insta is a bit BS, whatever. But you know how there's just some people that, like I follow you on Instagram or, you know, see you around here and there. And there's just some people that you just get a sense of, I'm like, oh, you're in a good place.
Yeah.
I really get that sense. Yeah. And it's nice because sometimes people listen to the podcast will write that to me on Insta. And when you're in that place where your heart's a bit broken and you maybe have been the one to call it or to be broken up with, whatever, you're in a place where you're kind of looking for somebody to kind of just confirm that you're doing the right thing and on the right path.
Yeah.
I would imagine – I mean, I'm getting that sense from you and the way that you're nodding your head as you talk, but you obviously feel like you're in that kind of a place that you've only been able to learn through the hard stuff.
Absolutely. And I think, like, it is that self-love, but it's also, like, fucking being strong, like, being really, like,
but define strong. Because I think often, you know, and we've spoken about this a lot on the show, I'm a very, very big fan of Brené Brown, and she talks very much about how strength is actually vulnerability.
Totally.
You know, how would you define strength?
So it's so funny you say that. When I bought the Beauty Food book out, which was the book before this, I'd gone through that breakup a week before, and I was so vulnerable on stage. Like, I was bawling, I was crying, like, it was horrible. And this had dropped to the day before the media launch. So, like, I stood up there and just, like, pretty much cried on the, and I would have called that my most vulnerable book launch. Whereas this launch I just did, I described it as Phoenix from the Ashes. I was like, fuck this. I love who I am. I love what I do. And not in an ego way. I love the way I love. I love that I love romance. I love that I work my fucking butt off. Like, I love being tenacious. Like, I love all these things. And the things I don't like about myself, I fucking work on and sort them out. I like that. So to me, actually being strong is owning your shit. It's knowing what you have to work on and fucking having the balls to work on it, having the balls to leave the things that aren't serving you anymore. Like, just like a breakup, like I've broken up with really good mate. Like, I've had really strong friendships for years, and I'd working with a therapist is like they're manipulating you and you're actually serving, they like you broken, Lola. And he's like, you'll have to step away from them. Like, friendships has changed and stuff. So to me, that is strength, and it's not like being fucking strong. It's about going, fuck this, I'm owning who I am. That feels strong.
Do you feel like this is maybe the first time in your life where you've really known truly in your gut and your heart what you deserve? Can you look back on your past self and be like, oh, Lola, you thought that you were getting everything that you wanted and little did you know, you know?
And I think that I'll look back in a year's time from now and say that about myself right now. I'm sure of that because I know what my dreams are, and I know I'm not even a tenth of where I want to be, career, dream, love, like everything wise. And so I think... Yeah, I think I was probably too in the past, like not too vulnerable because I don't think that that's the thing, but I was too gentle. I think that like if I look back, I was probably so like that, oh, Lola, fuck, you know, I just needed to be like, and I wouldn't say I've got it. I haven't got all the answers. Like, I don't love myself all the time and I am hard on myself, but I'm much more real than I think I've ever been.
It's interesting because that, you know, Christy just mentioned that she thinks, you know, you look the strongest, you know, there's an energy about you. For me, I had that same thought, but it did come from the moment you posted that breakup message.
Really?
And I think sometimes it's interesting because maybe, I guess, there was a chance I foresaw the transition that was going to happen because I, you know, could relate. But I do think it was another level of... I suppose just a different phase, a different place that you had arrived to. We will share that on our socials and reshare it because it is beautiful. The words were beautiful. Tell us where you were when you were writing that and what you were feeling at that point. Like, take us back to, I guess, exactly those kinds of feelings at that time and what had gone down for you.
So that was horrible. That was my worst breakup ever, even though I was the one that ended it. I remember that morning. I remember the day before, actually, I'd been to an acupuncturist and she put things in my heart meridian and I just started crying.
And
they
hurt
like,
a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this guy I was with, now looking back, he'd tapped out. Like, you know when a guy just taps out and you're just like, what the fuck? He wouldn't touch me, nothing. Like, so there was no physical for like the last 2 months of the relationship.
But then don't call it.
But never calls it. No, and very takey, it was a very unbalanced. He used to call me a sugar mama and I fucking hated that. I remember thinking,
what? That's gross.
How do you say that to me? Like, I work so hard for my money. This is not a good feeling.
And plus, I don't eat a lot of sugar. So it's just inaccurate.
It's wrong on many fronts,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
But I remember the day before this... breakup, I binged and I hadn't done that for so long. And I just remember thinking, all right, for you to do this, it's a very mental choice to have made. Like, and I was like, you got to tap out now. Mm. And I put on my fucking Biggie Smalls t-shirt.
Did you?
Fuck yeah.
Like, actually put it on.
Yeah.
Actually walked over to his house or drove to his house in a fucking big, across town, might I add. It was like, he lived so far away. Biggie Smalls t-shirt. I knocked on his fucking door. So he told me in the morning, I'm in a bad place. I don't want to see you. And I was like, I can't keep saying this.
Yeah.
And I was like, sure, you don't want to get a coffee or go for a walk? Which I was planning on, like, in that moment, I'll end it. And he was like, no.
How hard is that moment to know, too? I remember that conversation in the car. I was like, but how will I know? And you're just like, you'll just know. And I'm like, but how? Like, will I say this line and then he'll respond this way, then I'll say that. Just the not, but having never been through a breakup before, right?
Yeah.
Just, of that power too.
But just the legit, like, because you can say in your heart, you know, it's done. You know, it's done for months, right? But finding logistically the right moment or the right way or the right place, because you're thinking about if he cries, will people be around? Is it close to his birthday? Will his mum be in town? All those things. What will I wear at the time? Will I ever be able to wear this Biggie Smalls t-shirt again? Because it'll remind me of that. Yeah. Like, the logistics are mental.
It's true. No one talks about that real realistic part because you get to that stage, you do so many things before you get to that stage, like talk to your friends, talk to a therapist.
Yeah.
You're going, okay, well, now I'm telling everybody. I probably need to eventually tell him, you know, and you get to this place and then you're like, oh, hold up. Where do I go?
The messed up
especially
place
if you
is,
live together.
I was going to go somewhere where I really liked and I thought, I'm not going to do it there because that will always be the at a house.
Yeah.
But I was like, that will always be the place and I don't want that
no fucking way.
Marked.
But I still can't go to the cafes and stuff that him and I used to go to. Only because I'm just like, oh, I don't want to run in. Oh, to him.
Yeah. So t-shirt on.
T-shirt on.
Up the drive.
In the car. Yep. Drove all the way. Knocked on the front door. This is the worst bit, and I didn't put this into the post. Mm. Knocked on the front door. So he had a door and a wire door.
Oh, God.
Oh.
And he goes, who is it? And I didn't answer. I just stood on the front door. So I was like, motherfucker's got to open the door at some stage. He goes, who is it? And I said, it's Lola. He opened the door and stood behind the wire door just for like 10 seconds, enough to be like, what the fuck are you doing at my house? And I was like, he opened the door and he goes, come in. And I said, I don't need to. Stood on the porch and I just looked at him, tears rolling down my face. And he's like, and I said, I can't be with someone that doesn't want to be with me. And he looked at me. He'd been working on a car and he just blew his nose. Not out of upsetness. He goes, sorry, I just breathed in antifreeze. And I was like, I go, I've opened my heart.
I was about to cry. I was on the verge of tears and now I'm just.
Oh, no. It was like, no, it's a horrible experience. It went for like 3 minutes. And I go, I've opened my heart to you. I've given you my warts and all, like, you know, every insecurity I had, like, I've done everything. I've jumped. I've done everything you've asked of me. And he goes, it's not you, it's me. Look what this is doing to you. And he goes, you're a beautiful human. And I thought, fuck this. I'm going to use a line out of Ever After. Have you seen Ever After? And I looked at him and I said, well, I feel like a pebble in your shoe, which is a line out of Ever After.
For those of you that can't see, she put her hands on her hips like like a 6-year-old at a dance concert, like just this power, like this boss bitch.
It was actually so sad, but it's a good story now. And he was just like, I don't know what to say, I'm sorry. And I was like, nothing more to say. And I said, see ya, and I walked away. And he started dating someone within like a week. People are telling me he didn't and stuff, but I was like, even so, like, I would not. Boys do that, though. I can't even be angry at that because boys, actually, that's their coping mechanism.
It's weird, isn't it?
My therapist says it just comes to a point, Lola, where you have a fuck it line in the sand. Mm. And he goes, you fight, and then you go, actually.
You have to, don't you?
I have to walk away. And the same with the relationship. I was like, I'll wait for him to come good. I'll wait for him to come good. Got to a point where I was like, nah.
That's a great piece of advice, I think, even just for little niggle fights in your relationship at home. Mm, like, you've got to have a fuck it line because my partner and I are quite – we've just both had very individual lives, you know. We both met later in life. He's much older than me as well. So we've gone through shit, you know. So we come together. We've got this united thing. But if we're not in that united energy, which is our relationship energy, we can be very different islands. So we could keep going. You know, and that fuck it line is really important to remember of why.
Does it matter?
Why? Where is your fuck it line? I'm taking that. That's a good one.
Mm. That's from my therapist, Terry.
Did he say
Terry.
Fuck it line or did he say line in the sand?
He says fuck it line.
Oh, good. His therapist, he's got to say
fuck it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was like, have we just coined his line in the sand the fuck it line? Because if so, you're welcome, Terry. You can take that developed concept. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, right. Oh, this has just been – I mean, we could sit here for about 85 years.
And we will sit here again, I would imagine.
I would like that.
Yeah, it would be really nice.
Oh, because you know what? We need to – can you stick around, actually?
Yeah.
Because we'd love to record another – we do like a posse podcast that will go up tomorrow where somebody from our followers online or whatever will write in a question to have a DM with us about. And Maddie has written in to us and she wants to know your take on something.
Let's do it.
It's about reading the physical signs of when you're burnt out.
I love
and
this.
And
that's right.
Whether you're – because she's feeling happy and feeling like she's killing it in life, but her body's going, hang on a second, girlfriend.
There's just little signs that can be happening. Yeah. which we'll talk about tomorrow, that I do think it's important that we don't just then go to the chemist, do something and walk away.
Yeah, what there is our are body little telltales.
Stunning. Okay, we're going to put the links for your new book, your website, lolaberry.com. Yum Lola Berry on Facebook. Just get
where do you get the book also, please? Thing.
Any bookstore.
Yeah. All of the places.
Remember that old chest.
What?
The yoga body. The washi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah. Did you say that?
Yes. Gotcha. All right. Thanks.
So good. Don't get thinking about that.
If you love this podcast but you want to chat about it more, make sure you go to the Thinker Girls on Facebook, that's obviously us, and Insta, because that's where we're going to be continuing this convo with you, Posse.
Yes, we want to know what you think, Posse. So every week we'll be breaking down our podcast content across social media so you have an opportunity to share your opinions.
Plus, we're on Insta stories every damn day, so you get to come along with us for this crazy TG ride.
Yeah, Merce. Head to Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or even Twitter to find us.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.